Orioles win yesterday 6-2 behind Ryan Mountcastle. Three-run homer. Zach Fruit throwing 100 miles an hour. Whoever the hell he is, he got a big fastball. Bob Avis, Rodo, Nolan McGraw here to talk about the Birds. What, March 27th today is the 15 days away from the start of the season. Oriole Hall of Famer, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, which starts in about 16 days. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up?
Hey, Bob, how's it going, man?
It's going all right. Great to talk to you as always. Now, before we get to the Orioles and how they look, given the injury issues that they're dealing with, certainly in New York as well, Bayo's shut down at least early for Boston, so pitchers dropping like flies in the East. But podcast world is very much yours, and it's your world, and we're just living in it. But you also have a guy that kind of rules that realm himself. So tell our listeners, Mike Bordick, about the podcast that you and Jerry Coleman got for the people, because everything's for the people here.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you asking there, Bob. Yeah, Be More Baseball podcast. We're off to a really good start. We've had some great guests, Adam Jones, of course. And we're also going to have a guest next week or 2 weeks. It's going to be a special guest, a legendary Hall of Fame manager that I think you all love to hear. And listen, we got the Diamondbacks manager coming up next week. How about that? I asked him about giving our pitcher back, Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of good stuff. Anyway. Yeah, it's great. It's going great. Off to a good start. And Jerry Coleman, the legendary Jerry Coleman, has been fun to work with so far.
Always the qualifier. So far.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, aside from that, and thanks for asking about the podcast, you know, I think the Orioles, like most teams right now, are just hopefully putting the brakes on, saying, okay, reevaluate. What do we have? How healthy are these guys? Let's not panic right now and have to think that we have to go out and get an ace. You know what I mean? I don't know that a lot of teams are ready to do that right now. I think everybody is in caution mode. Arms, period. You do not need an ace. Teams need arms to get by because, man, if you have to get down into the minor leagues and use some of the, you know, the guys in Double A or even in Single A, some of these organizations are going to get depleted fast. That's just the name of the game right now, and I think teams are aware of that. I think pitchers in the big leagues that are young and have great arms and they want big contracts, you better stay healthy for a few more years, and because that's the name of the game. I just think everybody knows that pitchers are going to get hurt, and it's just you got about a 5 or 6 year window. And unfortunately for the Orioles, Grayson Rodriguez has an injury bug. You know, it seems like every year he has setbacks. So I'm more concerned about that one, to be honest.
Yeah, what, 22, 24, and now 25 through the last 4 years. I think that's more of it's not, you know, a coincidence. That's more of kind of a thing. But as he starts the year on the IL and he's shut down for 7 to 10 days, Mike, getting the cortisone in the elbow, Cade Povich, I guess, has an opportunity. We saw Suarez yesterday. He looked good for the most part. But what about Cade Povich? How does he carry that momentum from September now through spring, maybe into late March, April, and hopefully way beyond that as a member of this Orioles rotation?
Well, you know, that's the hope, isn't it? I mean, guys getting their feet wet in the big leagues, learning, and then growing and trying to raise their own personal bar. Here's a golden opportunity for this guy to jump in and prove he belongs in the big leagues and show that he can be consistent and have command of his pitches. Because that's just the knock, right? Sometimes just can't command the fastball, walks too many guys. So here's a great opportunity for him. Listen, the Orioles have been the land of opportunity for a while, but I think pitching is the key. If you can just step up, show you can harness a couple pitches, throw it for strikes, you will have a chance to pitch in the big leagues and, you know, cross your fingers, you're able to stay healthy. So that's going to be important. And that goes right back to maybe the Orioles are going to have to kind of readjust their draft philosophy too, and just start getting arms. I know they don't really believe that right now, but there just aren't enough arms out there on the market. And if you want to keep trading away your young prospects, look where we are right now. It feels like we don't have enough to make big trades left, because we want to see these young guys in the big league. So in a little bit of a conundrum, but I say, you know, just load up on arms, man, because you can trade arms if you have too many.
Mike Bordicario, Hall of Famer, colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's get to shortstop, and in particular, boy, the injury Gunner. He's your best player, so that's bad. But Holiday's taking ground balls today. Started there a couple of days ago. Just had one chance and made the errant throw to first base. Mateo is taking infield today as he's really trying to get himself into the opening day mix. But with Holiday in particular, you moved him to second. That's going to be a spot because, again, Gunner's your shortstop. Does this stunt the growth? Because he's a natural shortstop, it won't affect him in any way. Because sooner or later, and it might be by the 27th, he'll be back at second base here.
Yeah, this is a, in my mind, I feel like it's a very fragile situation. And I say this because if he goes over, if they ask him to play shortstop, and he can't adjust like he couldn't adjust to play major league second base, then we got a problem. And then it's going to get back in his head, and there's just a lot that goes on over there. This may be a thing just to kind of, I don't know, open his mind up a little bit. But listen, he didn't have, when he first got to the big leagues at second base, he didn't have the arm to play second base. I don't know how that can possibly translate to being better at shortstop. So we got to get Mateo healthy. He is huge to this team. And has been, and he was sorely missed last year. It's great to hear that he's back on the field and getting after it. And it would be nice if he could be the guy, you know, that they could run out there. But I think they have enough. I'd love to just keep Holiday at second, keep Westberg over there at third, and let some of these young dudes that they like so much that, you know, are groomed to be shortstops, just not enough bat yet, let them be good defenders up the middle and keep them solid there until Gunner comes back.
All right, Bordy there moving the left field wall back in at Camden Yards, not to where it was when you were playing there, but still closer than it's been last couple of seasons. Mountcastle went deep yesterday, but that was opposite field down on the farm, and we've talked about it 1,000 times, you and I, that he's got all fields power, but he can get pool happy now that the wall at Oriole Park Camden Yards is moving in. I'm going to make an early prediction that Ryan Mountcastle, assuming health, of course, hits at least 25 homers this year.
Oh, man, I'm going to take the over on that. I'm telling you. The what that wall did to a hitter's confidence, it just zapped it. And you could tell it was in Mountcastle's head and every right-handed hitter because they'd hit balls and just shrug their shoulder and then they got to make an adjustment. What am I going to do on this pitch now? I kill it and it just doesn't go. I think it got in his head. I think he's going to have better freedom at the plate. He's more mature, and I expect him to get up over 30 again. And this is what I fear, though. I think he's going to be get off to such a good start that he may end up becoming a trade piece, you know. And I worry about that. I want that guy to bring that bat, show the thunder that I know he has. I just think that wall back kind of set him back a little bit.
Hey, Bordy, with a positional player, you know, like Gunnar Henderson, who's missed basically since day one, you know, I mean, he was there for the first game, then gets hurt, then misses a lot of time, can't swing a bat. How long does it take to get ready for a positional player, a guy like Gunnar Henderson, to be ready to go?
Yeah, it shouldn't take him long, but he has got to get the full green light, Vinny. Those dang oblique and, you know, stomach muscle injuries, everything in baseball is rotational. And you just, if you go too soon, man, oh man, and re-aggravate it, it's just a longer setback. So I'm hoping that they are really sure about this. And, you know, and when he's 100% and they say, go get him, I don't think it'll take him long. I'd say 10 days. You know, I think the big gripe for a lot of major league players, and, you know, these guys are in such great condition and take care of themselves so well, is that spring training's too long and it's more set up for pitchers to get their pitches in and try to build up that kind of endurance. So, you know, players can get ready a lot quicker. And I'd like to see him get his spikes in the dirt a little bit. That's what you worry about because the process of healing, it's incredible. And, you know, in sport, it's one thing to move well, feel good, swinging well in the cage. But here I go take an aggressive, you know, competitive swing in the heat of battle, adrenaline flying, and I make that first aggressive swing and step out of the box, and it's different than anything you've done to train for. So that's got to be shown, too. just to give Gunnar the full green light. And let's go. Maybe miss a couple weeks to start the season, but, you know, write him in for all, every day the rest of the way in, because he's a horse.
Yeah, I feel his pain, Bordy. I've got my left toe so bad I can't even put a sock on today. So, Gunnar, I'm there with you. He's Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Mike, always great to talk to you, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Oh, sounds good. I'm so looking forward to pickles and baseball, man. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, Till's waiting for us. I think he's been there since late December. All right. All right. See you, Mike.
Okay.
Here's Mike Bordick, everybody. It's Vinny at 81057. The Fan Whip Around coming up next. Talk Ravens, Cordell Woodland, bottom of the hour, and then a fun house trip. Nolan McGraw. News from the desk coming up at noon as we talk about the Ravens. D-Hop's coming to Baltimore. Fancy name, but is it a needle mover in regards to on-field success?
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. As you just heard, fancy new imaging. It's the Whip Around. Bob Haney, V. Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Last night, we got to blow through this quickly, but there's a lot going on. College hoops. Don't forget the March Madness preview special. Coming up Monday, me and Jimmy Patzo's brackets coming out on Sunday night. Terps are in it. Where they'll be and what seed they'll be remains to be seen. But Gonzaga, 58-51 over 19, St. Mary's. You know, Gonzaga's played in the West Coast Conference Championship game since 1998 every single year. Dan Munson was the head coach. Bill Clinton was president. And they win it again last night over St. Mary's. UNC Wilmington, Brian Rossum, if you're listening, congratulations to you. They win the CAA, which we wanted Towson to win, but they lost to Delaware. But the Seahawks take care of the Blue Hens 76-72. Here's where we get to the conference tournament kind of thing. St. Francis beat Central Connecticut to win the North East Conference. St. Francis, know what their record is?
5-whatever.
16-17.
Oh.
And they were decent in the league, but still, Central Connecticut was great in the league. And now St. Francis, by the way, tip of the cap for you to get in. Robert Morris beat Youngstown 89-78. They win the Horizon. And then tonight, 7 o'clock, CBS Sports Network. It is Navy and DeChellis and the midshipmen taking on Dwayne Simpkins, former Terp buddy, and the Eagles of American U. Winner gets that automatic bid to the big dance. Terps play Friday, as we said, 6:30. Opponent to be determined. It's either Illinois, Ohio State, or Iowa, the way the bracket has set up. In the NBA last night, the Wizards lost. I know you're stunned.
Yeah.
I know everybody's shocked. 123-103. Cade Cunningham, 27-8-10 for the Pistons. The surprising thing is, the Pistons, they've been bad for years. And J.B. Bickerstaff, he got cundiped in Cleveland. We'll get to them in a second. And now here the Detroit Pistons are working on maybe a four seed in the Eastern Conference. And the Wizards are building up more ping pong balls for the Cooper Flag sweepstakes. Bob Carrington, Baltimore for Washington. First round pick, 15 points, 3 boards, 3 assists there. Speaking of the Cavs, a quiet night. Basically in the NBA, but 109-104 over Brooklyn. Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell didn't even play. He had 30. Cleveland, they won 15 straight games.
Woo!
They started the season with a 15-game winning streak. So they're cooking, and they're up big in the East, just like OKC in the West. No guarantees they'll meet in the finals, but what a nice season, shall we say, so far for the Cavaliers. In the NHL last night, late. If you could stay up and watch it, the Caps taking on the Anaheim Ducks. And a guy for the Capitals did something he had never done before.
Still out there. Alex plays it ahead. Protas for his first NHL hat trick. He buries it, and Washington's a winner.
Joe B on the call. 7-4 final score. Caps put 4 on the board in the third as they pull away from Anaheim. But Protas, who's been outstanding for them all season long, first career hat trick. Ovi didn't score, but he had 3 assists.
Yeah, Ovi played well in that game. And the thing that you got to give Ovi credit about, because he's always out there when they're a man down, you know, to get the shorthanded.
Man down.
to get the shorthanded goal. And he would have had an opportunity. Protas was skating, you know, towards open ice to go get an empty netter. And Ovi could have shot to try to get the goal, and Ovi passed it to him. And I heard an interview from Protas after, and he said that's the kind of teammate that Ovi was. You know, that he gave him the hat trick, which, like you just said, was his first. And the Caps had 42 shots. I mean, they played well. Now they're playing the Kings, who've won three in a row, and they're on their West Coast trip. Then San Jose is one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, Caps at Kings Thursday night. Capitals 43-14-8. LA's 34-20-9. If the playoffs started today, LA's in the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, LA would be in. And LA is a good team. They've got some good, young, talented guys. The Caps are just like crazy, Bob, because they just, you know, they got decent goaltending last night from Logan Thompson. Decent. But, you know, they dominate in the third period is what the Caps do.
It's 58-80-105-7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw is with us, of course. It is the Whip Around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Real quick, this day in Maryland hoops history, it is March the 12th, 1981. Dayton, Ohio, first round of the Mideast Regional. Terps beat UT Chattanooga. Now they're just Chattanooga. They used to be University of Tennessee Chattanooga back in these days.
What Hall of Fame football player, Bob?
UT Chattanooga.
Plus he played basketball, too.
Now is he a Hall of Fame football player?
Yes.
Ed Too Tall Jones.
T.O.
Oh, Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
There you go. Albert King, Maryland Hall of Fame. 25 points for the Terps. Ernie Graham, Baltimore had 18. Buck Williams, Greg Manning, 13 each. Maryland would next play Indiana. Spoiler alert, they lost by 35, and that ended the careers of all four of those players. So that team was ranked in the top four preseason. Did make the dance, but to lose by 35 in the second round to the eventual national champs, not exactly the expectations. Sporting News actually had Maryland number one in the preseason, but that's 44 years ago, man. How about this one? 1998, Sacramento, West Regional first round. Terps take out Utah State. Your boy Larry Eustacey, 82-68. Rodney Elliott, Baltimore. Rodney, I've been texting you, man. Where you been? 21 points. Abina Kesey had 17. Sharunas, yes, and Cavishes. And if you didn't live the Sharunas roller coaster, you haven't lived Maryland basketball. You had 16. Laurent Proppet at 12. Terps next. We get Illinois for a chance to go to the Sweet 16. And I'll give you that result coming up on Friday. It's the Whip Around. This year's Terps, don't know who they're playing Friday. You're going to hear it on the Fan, whoever it is. The Ravens, free agency. They kept Ronnie Stanley. They kept Patrick Ricard. And they added DeAndre Hopkins. So are we giving them thumbs up? Cordell Woodland shares his thoughts next here on the Fan. But the Ravens have been relatively active, and here to talk about what they have done so far, what they've kept, what they've lost, what might be coming in. Let's bring in Cordell Woodland on the Window Nation guest hotline. Cordell, good morning. How you feeling, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Now, D-Hop 2 years ago, I think if memory serves, you were all about that. But
yeah,
here he is coming in, you know, 600 yards, 50 catches, five TDs between Houston, or Tennessee, and Kansas City. What version of Hopkins are the Ravens getting? What version of Hopkins do they need to get for 2025?
Well, yeah, I mean, the version that they're getting is still a guy that has some of the more reliable hands in the league, I think. He's still one of the better contested catch guys. He's quarterback friendly. I think the core of D-Hop is still there. Like, look, he's not flying by defenders anymore. He's not, you know, the guy that defensive coordinators is staying up late at night trying to game plan for, but he can be useful. I mean, he was great for the Chiefs on third downs last year. So that's something that you can hang your hat on. And contrary to earlier in his career, he's been able to stay healthy for the most part here in some of these latter years, which I think is huge with him getting up there in age. So in terms of what he needs to be for them, I just think he needs to be A, available, B, kind of serve that as that mentor role for some of these younger receivers like Zay and Bateman, and be quarterback friendly, which I'm sure he can be for Lamar. But I just think they need him to be there when they need him. I mean, he's coming in here. He's the third wide receiver on the depth chart as of now, I would imagine. I don't think D-Hop is changing the direction of their season, but it's definitely a nice additional piece to add.
Now, Cordell, what did you think when you saw Ricard re-signed?
I mean, kind of like about time, almost. You know, that was one of the ones that you kind of knew was coming at some point, even with usage getting released out in San Francisco. I mean, the Ravens love to keep their own, and Ricard, contrary to people always wondering how he fits in, he always finds a way to fit in. I mean, he always does. He fits exactly what they want to do. And he plays his role well. So, you know, I kind of felt like that was one of the few slam dunk moves that we were going to see at some point.
Now, Cordell, we were talking a little bit earlier. The biggest, you know, one of the biggest concerns offensively that I still have, where's the depth with the O-line?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what they're going to look to you know, fix up in the draft, because – with Makari gone, you know, I know he started for them last year, but the big thing for him in Baltimore has been he's been that sixth man. He's been that reliable piece that if somebody else goes down, he can kind of rotate to another spot. They don't have that Swiss Army knife anymore on their offensive line. So, even with Ronnie Stan, even though they probably will just slide Voorhees in at left guard, I still look at offensive line as a big need for them just for depth purposes. And I'm curious to see even depth at like wide receiver, what happens. I know Tez Walker is there.
I think Wallace still bring back Cordell.
Yeah, I mean, he probably. I mean, he's a special teams guy. He's cheap. And, you know, he's shown that he can be a bottom of the depth chart guy. And when his number is called, he can come in for him. So, I mean, that's right up their alley right now. It wouldn't shock me to see that.
Hey, Cordell, who do you want to be the Pittsburgh quarterback?
Who do I want? I mean, I don't know, honestly. I feel like out of the guys that are available, Aaron Rodgers probably does give them their best option. I mean, I think he's got more left than Russ does. Obviously, he comes with a little more than Russ comes with, but I don't see the offense necessarily falling off the cliff the way it did with Russ. The same way with Rodgers, especially now with the addition of DK. Their wide receiver core has improved, and both of those guys are head cases, him and Pickens at times, for sure. But Rodgers is a dude that can handle those types of receivers. He can deal with those types of guys because he's, you know, ego-wise, his ego is just as big as theirs. So you wouldn't have any problems with that. The only issue that you'd have to deal with is like, all right, is he still going on McAfee every other day? Is he, you know, he's still going to be the topic of all the national news headlines. I don't know how much Pittsburgh cares about that. But in terms of the guys available, I would imagine Rodgers does best suit what they want to do.
Cordell, the five dudes that left the Ravens and signed, you know, Stevens and Harrison and Board.
B. Steve
and Jones and, you know, anybody you really care?
No. No, I can't get myself to care about it. I mean, not any knocks on any of those guys, but, I mean, it doesn't change much for the Ravens. I don't think any of the exits were surprises. I felt like Makari was gone. It really, with or without Stanley, I really thought Makari was already going to leave. And once Stanley gets his deal, I thought that was a sure thing. But all the rest of those guys, I mean, Harrison definitely came in for him big time this past year when they needed it. He's been a great special teamer, and just like a lot of these other guys, he stays in the division, goes to Pittsburgh. And B. Steve had his time. I do think the draft pick worked out because he was able to fill different spots that they needed him to fill. That rookie year, they needed him to go in out in Vegas and become the safety in that game. He did it. They needed him to switch the corner. He did it. And that year where they, you know, had all those DoorDash corners out there, he's one of those few guys that's out there. And then, you know, a year ago, he has a breakout year. I mean, I feel like that's still a win. It didn't work out long term, but I feel like they should be happy with everything that they got out of Brandon Stevens.
Cordell Willen joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Pick. Cordell, real quick, when should we expect any resolution with Justin Tucker one way or another here with either the league or the Ravens themselves?
Well, I would. I mean, I don't know what the league, you know, their investigations never have any type of timetable. So you never know. So we've seen them do these investigations for over a year sometimes with some of these guys. Now, I don't expect it to take that long because a lot of the background information has already been put out there. So I don't know what their process is, but I would expect a resolution with that in the coming months, weeks, if not. But with the Ravens, if you know, maybe they'll wait until that decision is made by the league if it comes before June. But I still expect him at latest to be gone after June 1st. I fully expect Justin Tucker to not be on this team by the time we're back out there for OTAs and all of that stuff. I would be really surprised.
All right, Cordell, tell our audience, and if they're not aware of this, where they've been living under a rock or something, but Fresh Take, your show with Ben Hall here.
Yeah, Fresh Take, me and Ben Hall will be on tonight, actually, from 6 to 8. Just a new spin. Ben had the Hall pass, and, of course, I was doing Shaking It Up Sports, so kind of combining forces here with us coming together. It's been a cool show, honestly. Both of us kind of have different perspectives, and we look at things so differently, but still arrive at the same location somehow. So I've enjoyed it. Like I said, we're on tonight. We'll definitely be talking about D-Hop coming to Baltimore and all things free agency because it's been crazy around the league. We'll talk some Orioles. Looks like Gunner's working his way back right now, and Felix Bautista continues to get better and better. So good things happening in Sarasota, contrary to some of the bad things that went on last week down there. And, of course, the NBA and the Big Ten tournament coming up this weekend. It's so much to talk about.
Cordell Woodland, appreciate it as always. Fresh Take coming up tonight here on the Fan. Cordell, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Cordell Woodland, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Come back. Take a trip through the Pine Isle. Squeeze a couple calls in if time permits. If not, we'll get you next hour. News from the Nest, top of the hour. Talk more about the Ravens, what they've lost, what they've added, what they still need possibly to bring into the equation with 11 draft picks. Where's the midweek money? Hopefully count that at 12:15. And we'll talk about those Steelers. Will Graves from the Associated Press. Hey, they brought in Kenneth Gainwell to replace Najee Harris now with the Chargers. Is that advantage Pittsburgh? And hey, that's right, DK Metcalf. What was he? He wanted to play somewhere warm and with a good quarterback. Well, he went somewhere cold and they don't even have a quarterback. Nolan, how you doing?
Doing just fine over here today. You know, hell of a game for the Orioles yesterday. Good to see it on TV. Anytime you beat the Yankees is a good thing in my book. And their only trip to Steinbrenner Field this spring, but as we know, they'll be making a lot of trips there over the summer. That's where the Rays are going to play their home games. So Ryan Mountcastle goes yard in Steinbrenner Field. Maybe some more of that throughout the summer.
Yeah, opposite field at that. I can't see that going well for Tampa. All these bashers going in there and just blasting away at Steinbrenner Field. I mean, because usually offensively, I mean, they've got guys that can hit home runs. I mean, Brandon Lally, kid from Maryland's got left-handed power. I just see other teams going in there going, licking chops.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if Tampa's pitching is going to be what it's been. And years going by, I mean, now there's talk that baseball wants the owner to sell so they can just get him out of there altogether. I don't know. Because I thought there was going to be a commitment to a new stadium, and now that looks like it's hit a roadblock. I mean, they've got, think about baseball and swing all night. Get that reference, you get $5 from the Bobster. You got Oakland, or A's playing in a minor league stadium, and the Rays playing in a minor league stadium.
Yeah, that's a bad look.
Yes, it is. I mean, I know the Chargers had to play in the soccer field there in front of 25,000 when they made the move from L.A. or from San Diego, rather. But you think any other major sport would have two of their teams playing in, like, you know, minor league facilities?
Well, that Arizona hockey team played at Arizona State.
Yeah, and I don't even think they wanted them. But now where are they? In Utah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, from a dimension standpoint, you know, Steinbrenner Field is one-for-one copy of the Yankee Stadium.
Right.
So I don't know how much of an impact that'll have, but I think it's more to do with the weather. Humidity down there, and then, again, no dome, so it rains a lot down there during the summer. I think their schedule could be really wacky. A lot of rainouts, a lot of doubleheaders.
Yeah.
They could be in some serious trouble.
Instead of a controlled environment, which it's been, now they're at the behest of Mother Nature. when it comes to things. Nolan, you want to do a fun house? What do you want to do here?
Let's do a fun house.
Let's do a fun house.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text from Chris says, I'm good with the DeAndre Hopkins signing as a savvy veteran move. Makes me feel like they'll be targeting a lot of defensive players in the draft, maybe some O-line depth as well. At this point, I don't really see much or many other areas they can add on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I mean, do you take a shot at a later on? Do you take a tight end? You know, because you got three that are going to be free agents next year.
I don't
year.
Think that would be a bad move.
No, but a couple of linemen. And then probably you can take a safety, probably a couple corners, maybe a couple inside. You got to take some pass rushers. Yeah, a lot of defense. To your point, yes, a lot of defense.
Well, if you take another tight end, I mean, unless you feel like you could stash him on the practice squad, you're really in a position to carry four, even if it's for 1 year?
You'd probably put him on probably put him on a practice squad. If you take him in the sixth or seventh round, you know, you're developing that kid.
More on the receiver stuff here. This texter says, you guys are 100% right about Nelson Aguilar with the game-altering drops at times. I like the guy because he would make some good catches, but can't have those drops in the mix, especially as a number three wideout. Vinny, you asked where the offensive line backups are. Definitely think some of those 11 draft picks have to be dedicated to the O-line.
No doubt. And I would think after June 1st, you know, some guys that are still out there, they may, you know, sign those guys for minimum type deal. But yeah, I would think probably a guard and a tackle for sure. For sure, those two.
This last one here about the Orioles, texter says, I have to agree with Bordy about Holiday's defense. Just leave him at second and commit to it. What's the point of having him play short for maybe a few weeks without Gunner and then have to go back to second? Ramon Arias is going to have to play somewhere anyway. Just plug and play at short. Save everyone the trouble.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, just leave him there. Get him to become adept at that position because that's his position. And Jacob Calvin-Meyer said it yesterday. Even if Gunner doesn't start on the IL, maybe he misses the series against Toronto and he'll be ready for the home opener on that Monday. But we'll let it all play out. That's his natural spot. And Mike brought up this point, too. We talked about it as it was happening in real time last year. That arm strength seemed a little like, dude, really? But didn't he have a shoulder problem, too?
Yes, he did.
Jackson Holiday, and apparently he's eating a lot of steak this offseason. Not saying he's going to have a Manny or Gunner howitzer, but we'll see how it goes. But to the texter's point, I don't know if you agree with this, Nolan, just let him play second. If Mateo was 100% ready to rock and roll for opening day, we're not even having this discussion. And what's the machine have to do? Or Levon Soto to get a little recognition around his part?
Well, they'll drop Levon Soto, bring him back about five more times. You know,
right.
Get rid of him.
You know, or put Urias at third, let Westy play, Westberg play shortstop. You know, navigate this short period of time. We expect Gunnar Henderson to be out unless they know something that we don't know in regards to his possible time missed, even though he is doing baseball activities, which is obviously a positive thing. News from the Nets coming up next. You want to stick around for that? You can at 410-583-1057. Buy or sell? Where's the money? Count that midweek style. Didn't yesterday
tariffs
suck?
Tariffs, Bob.
Ugh. Can we talk more about that ACC thing anyway? And then Will Graves talks about the Steelers. He's from the Associated Press. Pittsburgh, would it be better off for them just to suck for 2 years and maybe start building a foundation for long-term Super Bowl success?